Yeah.
Well, good. Okay. We're doing an hour, right?
Yes. Welcome everyone to the Center for the Study of Truth. Here's Stephen Magier. I remind us what we speak about in this platform, that is dealing with causal factors of human condition, that in slavery and tyranny, that rooted in consciousness, that lead us to chaos and total control over mankind. So our work is to bring the knowledge of truth, and because only the truth and right action will lead us toward freedom and planet Earth. And we're dealing with causal factors, like to be more informed, more aware, more moral being. This is the solution. This is the problem is the cause. This is the cause. We need to look in the solution. This is the causality. So we know the humanity take the wrong direction from the ancient world. That is decades, thousands of decades before. So humanity under mind control and slavery. And we need to take action to change that through our behaviors, because we create our reality through our behaviors. So this is important to say here. So today we have a very special guest. He's a researcher, a great researcher, brilliant mind, a public speaker, write over 20 books. I know your work decade, because more and more, this seems to me more and more clear with the years, what you're talking about in your books. And you inspired me with your work, with your tremendous work you've done, because any book is 600-700 pages. That this is a crazy. So really, thank you for your time. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. It's crazy wherever you are. It's certainly crazy in Israel. I've been following that quite closely. It's crazy here, and it's about to get crazier. Because I said back in the summer, when they gave us Freedom Day, as if they have the right to give us freedom or take it away. And I said at the time, you know, it's only temporary. All these restrictions are coming back, and now they're talking about exactly that in Britain. And there's a total scam going on, in Israel, and a total scam everywhere else, certainly in Britain. And it's called the COVID jab, or the COVID fake vaccine, because what's going on here is that this fake vaccine is causing health mayhem around the world in terms of death and in terms of life-changing illness and consequences. But they have to hide the fact that that's what's going on. So they are talking about, and I know this has happened in Israel, that people who have the jab, who are, quote, fully vaxxed, even though it's not a vaccine by any definition, yeah, they're still getting COVID and still dying from COVID, when actually COVID is not what's going on. The consequences of the fake vaccine are going on. You know, the whole foundation of this global COVID hoax has been the test. The test, the PCR test, has been the foundation of all of it, because the PCR test is not testing for a virus, because it can't. Its inventor said so. It cannot test for infectious disease. And whether you're sick or not, the inventor, Kerry Mullis, said so. So what they've done is use this test in a way it wasn't designed to do. And when they get a positive, fake positive, because the test is not testing for what they say it is, then they call that a case. And if you die of any other cause within 28 days of being positive with a test not testing for the virus, then you have COVID-19 on your death certificate. And so you have your deaths. And the flu has disappeared worldwide. They're going to bring it back this winter, I'm sure. They're already talking about it. All 60,000 could die in Britain from the flu. Amazing how accurate they are in their predictions. But it disappeared through the COVID era. And it disappeared because it was redesignated COVID-19. It didn't disappear at all. So what's happening now with the so-called breakthrough cases where people are fully, quote, vaxxed and still get COVID is actually they're suffering from the consequences of the fake vaccine, but they've tested positive with a test not testing for the virus. And thus they are said to have COVID. So what the plan is during the winter with this, what they're saying in Britain is going to be COVID and the flu running together, is a very simple thing. If you turn up with flu-like symptoms and they give you a PCR test and you test positive with a test not testing for the virus, then you are going to be designated COVID-19 and you're going to get a certain treatment protocol, which would has a very good chance of killing you. And if you come with flu-like symptoms, but you test negative, then they'll say you got the flu. This scam is going to be used, as with new variants. They're already talking about this. I've just been looking at a story in Britain tonight. Or the Delta variant. Oh, no, there's another one now, and it's more infectious and all that stuff. They're going to invent these things to hide the very basic foundation fact that overwhelmingly the death and illness is being caused by the consequences of the fake vaccine, as predicted by medical professionals who have the guts to speak out long ago.
Yes, I want to ask you how people not see this consciously in the street, that not exist any virus, that they don't need to listen to the news. I say to people, if you turn off the TV, turn off the mainstream media, the virus will disappear from your life. The people even not conscious to see, to be aware of their environment, you know, about the society, how they dealing with this. So I want to ask you how you, with all your years of research, how you see the consciousness of the people, is a progress, or we go forward, or we go backwards? What is going on with this? This is a signal for us to wake up. This is a wake-up point, okay?
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. There is no evidence that the virus exists because it's never been isolated and purified and shown to exist. Right from the start, a top official in the Chinese Center for Disease Control, CDC, was saying the problem is the virus has never been isolated. And, you know, these PCR protocols for this test about how they test for, quote, COVID, then they weren't set from access to a natural virus because it doesn't exist. What they're calling COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, which is supposed to cause COVID-19, is a computer program. It was put together on a computer. It's called in silico, an in silico concoction, in silico, in silica on a computer. The guy in Germany, Christian Drosten, who came up with the PCR protocol for not testing for the virus in January 2020, has admitted that he produced that protocol not from a natural virus. He didn't have any because there ain't any, but from the computer program he was given. And then you've got something like 59 different versions of the PCR protocol in America, fronted up by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. And they've admitted in their own documentation that they didn't create them from access to a natural virus either, but from a computer program. So, you know, the Nazis used to say in their propaganda, the bigger the lie, the more we'll believe it. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at it. You've got a test not testing for the virus. You've got people dying of everything else within 28 days of a positive test, saying they died of COVID-19. And you've got a vaccine that's not a vaccine. It doesn't fulfill the criteria for a vaccine. And you have no natural virus anywhere. There's been a stream of Freedom of Information Act requests gone out across the world to different countries, health authorities, governments, saying, show us the paper that shows this virus has been purified and isolated and shown to exist. Not one has ever come back in all the period of the COVID era. And so when we're talking about, therefore, consciousness, well, that's the whole basis of it. How conscious are you? How conscious do you choose to be? Because given the scale of the lie or lies and the way that you can find this stuff out if you really want to, even now with all the censorship, what consciousness level are you at? What self-respect level are you at that you don't check out?
Yes, and they'll check out again.
What authority is telling you, you just do what they tell you. That is not the response of a conscious human being. It's the response of a computer program where the government presses enter and the computer responds to program. You know, in the end, it all comes down to consciousness, because our perceptions come from our state of consciousness. Our behavior come from our perceptions. And so we need to take control of our consciousness back, because we've given it away. When, Israeli government says this is going to happen and you're going to do this, I mean, if you just do it, well, where's the consciousness there? A computer can do that. A puppy dog can do that. You know, beg, lay down. Ooh, yeah. Woof, woof, woof. I mean, you don't need consciousness for that. You just need a brain.
Or their followers.
Will make your body do what you're told to do. You don't need consciousness of the type that says, I'm going to look at this information and see if it makes sense before I do what they're telling me. And what's happened now, of course, in Israel, and why Israel is important is it's the cutting edge, furthest ahead in the fake vaccine blueprint and the scam that's playing out. And the rest of us are catching up, but Israel's been right at the forefront of this whole fake vaccine agenda. So they tell you that, first of all, and this is this, ladies and gentlemen of the world, this is coming to you if you allow it. They tell you that they're going to introduce a passport. If you are not fake vaccinated, according to the protocol the government dictates, then you don't get the green pass. You don't get the vaccine passport, and you can't basically do on any of the very basic normal things of life. And so people say, well, even if I don't want it, I'm going to get the double jab because I need my passport. And they get the passport. And they've had the double jab. They've been infused twice with synthetic genetic material, self-replicating in the body. Day after day after day, impacting on the body more and more. That's why we're going to see a lot of people dying and in terrible health conditions in this period we're heading into through November, December, January, February, etc. And that's why they're laying out all these excuses for why this is going to happen, so they can hide the fact that it's the bloody jab. So, but then they say, "Oh no, we've decided you've got to have a third one," and if you don't have the third one, you lose your vaccine passport. And if you don't have a third one, and we're talking about a fourth that's coming.
Yes, they're already talking about that.
You won't be able to do anything more than someone has not had any of them. So, you know, this is the idea, mate, to constantly, first of all, they lock you in the vaccine passport kind of ball and chain. And then they keep adding vaccines rounds, fake vaccine rounds, necessary to keep it. And so in the end, you know, you're like a pincushion. And you've got them talking about, you know, Fauci's in America is talking about a fake COVID jab every 8 months. And these drug companies like Pfizer, who are completely and utterly breathtakingly evil, with appalling records of massive fines for having total contempt for the public's health and well-being. Record-breaking fines. And they're the people that are giving you this fake jab that you're having without question. And they want to give you more and more and more. And in the background, they already have the fake vaccines ready for fake variants. Because, you know, this is a real benefit. People say, well, why would they not have a real virus, right? Or a real infectious agent? Well, because first of all, if you have a real one, a real deadly one, then you're going to lose control of it. And a lot of people might die that you don't want to die, that suit your agenda for them to stay alive. And also, if you have a real infectious agent, you are limited to what that does. If you don't, if you have an imaginary one that you make appear to be real through a test and fake death certificates, etc., then you can do what you like with it. You can invent variants to your heart's content. You can create new symptoms all the time. You notice how the symptoms have got bigger and bigger and bigger of COVID-19. And I tell you something else, I'm sure a number of people will have noticed, that as the symptom or the consequences, the health consequences of the fake jab start to appear, suddenly what the jab is doing to people is being added to the symptoms or the consequences of COVID-19. So suddenly COVID-19 is a problem for the heart. No, it's not. What did you tell us that before? Before people started having the jab and having heart attacks and myocarditis in kids and young people. It's, you know, the thing is that the bottom line for people to see what's going on is to understand the scale of pure, undiluted evil that we are dealing with, evil being, in my definition, the absence of love, and to understand that governments, whether it's the government of Britain, the government of Israel, doesn't really matter who it is, the government of America, the government of Australia, all of them, they are not there to serve the public. They're there to serve a global cult, as I call it, which is a global network of secret societies with an interlocking central leadership dictating the agenda of that web. And in each country, the web has a subsidiary network, and its job is to control that country's politics, medical system, military, intelligence agencies, banks, corporations. And these subsidiary national networks of the global web have the job of imposing in their country the global agenda, dictated globally, centrally, globally. And that's become so obvious. I've been writing about it for decades, but so obvious in the COVID era, where you have this this fake virus supposedly leaked out of China. And the world responds, almost every country in the world, in the same way, and with the same things, the same restrictions, the same. See, you look at the vaccine passports in Europe, for instance, the process of introducing them began in 2018. It's where the documentation shows that. and into 2019 before anyone had ever heard of COVID. This is all planned. And the government of Israel is serving this cult, just like the Biden government in America, just like the Johnson government in Britain. Boris Johnson last night had dinner with Bill Gates and today announced something like £400 million are going to be invested in with Gates in human caused global warming technology, which is another hoax created by the same people. This is why you've got Gates, who's been driving publicly and behind the scenes this COVID hoax and all this these vaccines that fake vaccines that he's making an absolute fortune from. And Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum has been pushing this COVID thing. And yet they're both pushing human-caused global warming at the same time, because the two are interlocked. The way to understand why these things are done is to see what the solutions are to what they claim is a problem. And if you look at the solutions for the COVID hoax and the human-caused global warming hoax, they're both exactly the same. The centralization of power on a global level, dictating to the fine detail of people's lives. And they talk about bringing in climate change lockdowns, which is obviously going to desperately affect small businesses and medium-sized businesses that the cult doesn't run. Because the idea, as I said from the start of this COVID era, is to destroy small business, medium business, and any even big business, that bigger businesses that the cult doesn't run and doesn't own. So corporations it does own, like Amazon, like Facebook, like Twitter, like Google, like YouTube, owned by Google. These have all done fantastic in this COVID era, while the businesses of the people have just been falling all over the place, because the plan is to create a situation, this has been in my books for decades, of total dependency of the population upon the state authority. And I've been saying for year after year after year, going way back, if you want to know what's planned for the West, look at China today. What's planned for the West tomorrow, look at China today. And this global cult was behind the Mao revolution in China, because they wanted to create a country, basically a closed country, for a very, very long time, and still authoritarian beyond belief. So that behind those walls of authoritarianism, they could develop a system of surveillance and control, overwhelmingly dictated by technology, which once it had been incubated and perfected in China, it would then be played out across the world. And what we've had, of course, since this fake virus apparently appeared in China, is the way the West has become dramatically fast, more and more like China. So if you look at the vaccine passports, which are happening everywhere, they're going to be brought in Britain. They say, oh, we don't want to. Of course you want to. It's in your script, handed to you by external forces outside of Britain, just like in Israel. So you have the vaccine passport. And then in China, this is what the vaccine passport is. You have the social credit system, which has been perfected in this control system in China, where if people haven't come across it, if you do and live your life the way the government of China says you should, then you get credits. If you don't, then you get them taken away. And once you lose a certain amount of credits, then consequences start to kick in. Like you can't go on a train, you can't go on a plane, and all these things start kicking in because you're not doing what the Chinese communist fascist government says you should do. Now, look at the vaccine passes and the vaccine passports. And notice how they're green passes. This is the color that's coming out across the world because they're fusing climate change, the climate change human caused hoax with the COVID hoax, because it's orchestrated by the same people. And what they're saying with these green passes, green passports, you must do what we tell you to do, including having synthetic genetic material put in your body that you have no idea what its impact is going to be. Or you can't work, you can't go to the store, you can't do all the normal things of life. What we're looking at, and it's how ironic is this, mate? We're looking in Israel at fascism. That's what it is.
Exactly.
This is why I've seen some Jewish lawyers in Israel who are actually making this very point, that what's going on in Israel today is like the run up to what the Nazis did in Germany. The countries in the world, where should that not be happening more than any other? But it's happening, if anything, as extreme as anywhere in Israel. So does your government care about the population of Israel? No, it doesn't. No more than the Johnson government does or the Biden government does, because they're not answering to you. They're answering to this cult, and they're playing out a global agenda.
So how is this the scam is going on? How much deeper the price of kind of take this fake jobs? What kind of I fan of your work, The Children of Matrix, that you speak about non-human entities and extraterrestrial beings that manipulated the DNA of human beings. And I want to ask you, how is this connected, all this vaccine agenda and genetic manipulation and all this kind of nanotechnology and all this AI technology?
Funny enough, I do a video every it goes on the website davidicke.com and in other video platforms, not YouTube, I'm banned from there, every Friday. And the one I'm going to do this week, the subject I'm going to do is exactly what you've just described. Because, you know, if you look at what is happening in the world and how it's changing, all the major pillars of this global cult agenda are anti-human. Anti-human, they're very clearly anti-human. So you have the human-caused climate change agenda. What are they doing? What are they justifying by that? The targeting of carbon dioxide, CO2, the gas of life. Without carbon dioxide, there is no natural world and there is no human. And we have, I think it's around 419 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere. And what the natural world does, the plant world, et cetera, is it sucks that out of the atmosphere, and it's basically plant oxygen in relation to how oxygen, we need oxygen. And it's a beautiful symbiotic relationship where that produces oxygen, we breathing oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide. It's a beautiful, synchronistic, perfect relationship, symbiotic. But as people who know what they're talking about in relation to carbon dioxide say, not only do we not have too much carbon dioxide, we don't have enough. The optimum level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere for maximum plant growth is apparently about 2,000 parts per million, not 419. And if it falls to anything close to 150 parts per million, then the natural world starts to die rapidly. And we've not only got this human-caused climate change excuse to stop producing carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide was plummeting before the industrial era. And the industrial era has turned that around. And that's why the world has got greener in the industrial era. Because why do they put extra carbon dioxide in greenhouses? Because that it makes the plants grow. If you go any close to 150 parts per million, then it starts to die. And not only are they saying we must stop producing it, people like Bill Gates, again, is funding technology to suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, to suck the gas of life out of the atmosphere. Now that is anti-human. Then you have the targeting of the human body. More anti-human do you want than that? Where I've been saying this in the books for years and years and years, the plan is to make the body far more synthetic. This is why this new discipline in science is absolutely exploding. Called synthetic biology. And so what are they putting into people with these fake vaccines? Synthetic genetic material, mRNA, messenger RNA. And it is changing the messaging system and thus the DNA of the human body, because that's what it's designed to do. That's why it doesn't fulfill the criteria of a vaccine. Now, you mentioned there that I've written in the books over the years about the evidence going way back of a non-human force manipulating human DNA. You see it in the Old Testament with the sons of God who interbred with the daughters of men, all this stuff.
Yes, exactly.
And so what is happening now with these fake vaccines? They're changing human DNA. That's what they're doing. And you've got the mRNA vaccines, yes, which are doing it through that means. But these other ones that are not mRNA, they're still targeting the DNA. And then you have the bombardment of humans with a chemical tidal wave in the food, in the water, in the drink, in everything. And you have a bombardment of radiation getting more and more extreme all the time as 5G comes in. And they're talking about 6G and 7G already.
Interesting.
And all these things are really, really bad for humans. But they're bringing them in. Now, what if you had a non-human race, a non-human species that was hiding behind human forms, as I've been pointing out all these years, that was changing this planet, this reality, so it no longer benefited humans or served humans, but served them and that which is outside of this reality at the moment, that needs a different type of atmosphere, a different means of surviving to humans. So you change the atmosphere, you change the reality to suit you. And it's this kind of stuff you see portrayed in movies and what have you. I remember seeing a movie starring Charlie Sheen years ago. It was called Arrival, and then they had Arrival 2, which was absolutely appalling, but Arrival 1 was very symbolically accurate. And it was about a guy who was looking for extraterrestrial life, the C-SETI program stuff. That played by Charlie Sheen. And he uncovered gradually that actually NASA was being run by a non-human race hiding behind human form, and that they were in the process of changing all the basic pillars of our planet to suit them. Something like that is absolutely going on when you put you put it all together. And so you are looking at, because people say, well, why would they do this when they have to live here? Well, what if they're not like us ultimately? Because I've said all along that if you go to the center of this global cult web and you go deep into the core of the core, you that's where you meet the non-human force that's basically driving this. And then you have this this network of which Gates and Fauci and Schwab are all part, the major players in Israel, major players in America and Britain and other places. They are basically serving that non-human agenda in what they're imposing on the human race. And at the inner core, like your Gateses and people like that, they will know. But the further you come out from the inner core, and Gates is quite a way out from the inner core, he's only a gopher really, but he's close enough to know. But once you come further out than people like Gates, they have not a clue of what they're actually serving.
I want to ask you another question, David. What do you think about Satanism? Is kind of ideology, egotistic state of mind that is everything for my personal benefits, self-obsessism, moral relativism, all this stuff. How you look this Satanism? Because I have a lot of misunderstanding in this type of things that people need to understand about who ruling the show and how they manipulate the minds and the perceptions of all of us.
Yeah, well, Satanism is fundamentally part of this. And that's why back in the 90s, particularly, I was doing a lot of research and publishing a lot of stuff about this. And I started to see how if I went deep enough in the rabbit hole of major players in global affairs, I would end up with two things, Satanism and pedophilia. Those two are absolutely connected. And these entities, these non-human entities, they feed off human low vibrational energy and they feed off human blood. I mean, this is all fantastic for anyone that's kind of new to this, but they do. And you know, if you go back into history, as I have in the books, you find that this non-human force, which massively takes a reptilian form, is talked about in these ancient cultures. They have different names for these non-human entities, but they're talking about the same thing. So if you look at Christianity, they talk about the devil, Satan, and they talk about demons. The demons are this non-human force. The demons are running the world. Bill Gates, I rest my case. And then you look at the Gnostics, the Gnostic belief system, and some amazing documents that were found at Nag Hammadi in Egypt, about 80 miles north of Luxor, in 1945, that was an earthen jar full of writings by the Gnostics, going back to maybe 400 AD or earlier. And they describe exactly the same phenomenon, only they call Satan Yaldabaoth, and they call the demons of Christianity the Archons, which is a Greek word meaning rulers. And then you play that out across other cultures and you see the same recurring theme of a non-human force manipulating humanity from the unseen. And what you have is this global cult, which is imposing the will of these entities within the world of the seen. Well, most of it, I mean, that's hidden too, but at least it's operating within this reality. And so what's playing out is this non-human agenda being imposed on humans. And, you know, when I started talking about this in the writing about it in detail in the 1990s, of course, you got enormous ridicule and dismissal. But, you know, and it's one reason why I'm going to do this video on Friday. People are now, those who have control of their thought processes, are starting to open their minds to possibilities they would never have considered before. Because if you said in January 2020, this is how the world's going to change in the next 18 months, you'd have been laughed at. That can never happen. That would never happen. That's ridiculous. That's impossible. We're living it. And so a lot of resistance, not among the fast asleep, of course, but a lot of resistance to possibilities up to this point unconsidered has started to wane. We have a media network, like it's an alternative version of Netflix in a way, for alternative types of information of all kinds. And there's a documentary that came out a few weeks ago on Iconic, an original Iconic documentary called Divine Intervention, with divine with a line through it, because it's not divine. And it's a documentary about, I contribute to it, manipulation of human society, going back into history right to present day, of a non-human force. And, you know, when you look at the evidence in the different cultures, they're all basically describing it. And, you know, this is what's happening. And we need to kind of grasp that to understand what is actually happening. This is a war on humanity and a war on the very foundations of human existence, including things like 5G, which at 60 gigahertz interacts with the oxygen molecule to stop people absorbing as much oxygen with each breath as they normally would. I mean, all these basic foundations of human existence are being targeted. And this is the reason too, because they want to change the nature of the human body from what it is to what they want it to be, which is far more synthetic. This is why sperm counts are plummeting all over the world. I mean, catastrophically, look at the evidence. Because they're phasing out what you might call human 1.0 to bring in their human 2.0. And human 2.0 is not meant to procreate. It's meant to procreate technologically, exactly as described by Aldous Huxley in Brave New World in 1932. And the technology that he talked about that would make this possible is now being introduced. If you want to connect some more dots here, because they all connect at the end, because it's one gigantic pattern web picture. This transgender explosion that came out of nowhere and suddenly everywhere, so that's a big red flag every time, is nothing to do with transgender. These transgender activists think it's all about them. It's nothing to do with them. It's a transition period, stage, from human 1.0 to the no procreating, no gender human 2.0. So what they're using the transgender for on the road to no gender is to confuse gender. So you start off and it's pretty simple. You have a male and you have a female, and they procreate and they produce and produce the species. So what you need to do is to confuse that. So you go for this long list of different genders. They're not different genders at all. They're self-identities, but they're not genders. And what's the chances of people all over the world, authorities, having the same idea around the same time of having drag queens go into schools and libraries and read stories and do their stuff in front of very small children? If you want to confuse the perception of gender for a small child, then what better way of doing it than a man in drag? I've got nothing against drag queens. So, you know, whatever turns you on, it's none of my business. But it becomes all our business when that is being used by authority to confuse the sense of gender in young kids, because they are moving towards this no gender human, where the procreation will be technological. And this is why you've got this war on men and war on toxic masculinity. And I said, when that started, they're going to come for
testosterone,
the women.
Yes, the fight for the testosterone.
And now they're coming for the women.
Yeah.
And they're having transgender people in male bodies, able to go in women's toilets and bathrooms, able to take part in women's sport, and with their greater strength and body mass, they're obviously going to make much of women's sport irrelevant to women in terms of winning. And this is a war on men, and it's a war on women. And what they want to do, and what they are doing, this is what all this Me Too is about. You know, I mean, you know, it may on one level have a very good reason and you know, good desire for what you want to achieve, but there's nothing more manipulatable than genuineness that isn't streetwise. And what this whole Me Too movement is, and many other things of the same area, is to divide the men and women.
Yes, you war, gender war, yeah.
You play men and women off against each other while you're targeting both.
Here in Israel, they work on this very good. In the neo-feminism agenda and all this stuff, that women get more rights than men, and all this war they create between the genders, yes.
Yeah, exactly that. So while they're targeting men, and they're increasingly targeting women, instead of men and women having a unified response to the targeting of both, they're at war with each other. That's why they're doing it. So now they are using this transgender to advance this agenda as if it's all about, you know, transgender people. It's not. They're irrelevant.
This also to destroy the masculinity.
They're a means to an end. Yeah, they're a means to an end.
This destroys the masculinity to make action, to stand on your rights, to say no to someone who give you the orders, to think, to say something about injustice is going on. This is what they destroy, the testosterone of the men, and for the women also, the imbalance in both of the genders.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. You know, I talked about the sperm counts plummeting, or testosterone's plummeting. And of course, it's been pointed out a number of times or the question's been asked when these fascist impositions have been imposed around the world. Where are the men? Where are the men? You know, I've sat in a cafe or restaurant, because I don't do any of the, I won't do any of the restrictions. I mean, you know, do what you like. You know, I'm still not doing it. But I've sat in cafes and stuff and restaurants, and I've seen massive men walk to the door, put their mask on, their face nappy, walk through the door, walk sometimes no more than three paces to a table, sit down and take it off. I mean, where's your self-respect? That is insane. I sat in a cafe the other day, and there was three quite elderly people walked in. One of them had a mask on. And what do the masks do? They deny you oxygen. You know, you talk to neurologists who have a backbone, and they'll tell you it's diabolical, especially for young people and children, to have that mask on, denying the body and the brain sufficient oxygen with each breath. And breathing in your own carbon dioxide. But anyway, they came in, and she had a mask on, and they sat down, and they're chatting away, and she's got a mask on, and she obviously knows these people. She obviously interacts with them all the time. And I'm watching this. I observe people. And then the lady comes over, the waitress comes over and takes the order, okay, goes away, comes back with some cups of tea. So then the lady takes her mask off to drink her tea. Now she's sitting with no mask with the people that she had a mask on before, I mean, the whole thing is insane, but it's this inability to see it. You must have a mask on when you walk in a cafe. I am a Dalek. And that's what it's like. Press enter. And, you know, people with self-respect and testosterone won't do that. They look at it and they say, you are asking me to do something completely ridiculous. No, I'm not doing it. And by the way, you show me the risk-benefit analysis that's been done on mask wearing. What's the risk-benefit analysis? What are the consequences of mask wearing? You must know that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be trying to force it upon me, because you'd be trying to force upon me something that could be damaging to health, actually is. So show me your evidence. And nobody can. No government can. They just say, do it. They don't justify it. And if we then say, okay, we'll just do it, well, where's your self-respect? It's gone. Where's your dignity? You haven't got any if you do that.
It's a muzzling to speak.
There's nearly 8 billion people in the world, and the number of people imposing this stuff is tiny. I think I see a way out of this.
Yes, it's kind of muzzling the public to express facial recognition. It's also have developed psychological issues with the kids. That is unbelievable that parents take the rights of their own kid to breathe freely because of their stupid belief system that they believe. And it's very, very hard to see how the parents take away rights from their children.
Exactly. And, you know, I have an example here locally where I live, where a parent was asked if they were going to let their 12-year-old child have one of these fake jabs. And her reply was, I'm leaving it to him. I mean, it's unbelievable. The parental dereliction of duty that's gone on. Your first duty to your child is to protect them from anything that is a danger to them. But where's that gone? And what it is, it's this. Well, there's two perceptual states that kowtow and submit to authority. One is that doesn't think, that doesn't process information. You know, when you're in any way awake and you critically think, what you do is you take different sources of information and you process them into a conclusion. When you don't think, you just obey, the conclusion comes first. In fact, only the conclusion exists. And that is the conclusion that the government's told you to do it, authorities told you to do it, so you must do it. That's your conclusion. You have no information whatsoever, because you haven't even looked for it, to back up why you should obey authority and what it's telling you. You just do it. And it's, if you look at a human life right from the start, it's a system programming people to obey authority without question. It's all systematic. So you come out of the womb and your parents are influencing your perceptions in the earliest years. But then you go to school. And from that moment on, a authority figure representing the state is telling you when you have to be there, when you can leave, when you can eat, when you can talk, when you can go to the toilet. And this goes on throughout your school life, and you learn that if you obey authority, it can be less hassle than if you stand up to it and ask things like questions. And this goes on, and then you go out of the school education system, programming system, and you go to work, and now a boss is telling you what to think and what you must do. And you're then obeying the boss as you were obeying the teacher. You get into this mode of just obeying authority by reflex action instead of saying, well, hold on a second. How do you justify that, what you're telling me to do? That doesn't happen. And then you've got the other side of those that obey and just do what they're told. And they are the ones that don't really want to do it, and a quite a goodly number can see why they shouldn't do it, but they fear the consequences of not doing it, and so they do what they're told, even though they don't want to. And that leaves the number, which is always the minority. Throughout human history, this dynamic has gone on. The few have controlled the many throughout human known human history because of this situation I've just described. Most people will just follow whatever authority tells them, and the rest will do it because they fear not doing it. And it's always, if you look at the overthrow of tyranny throughout human history, it's always been the few that's basically started it. And those few have had something that has overturned every tyranny in history: self-respect. They will not do it. They use the power of no. And so those of us who are refusing to submit to this, we're the only ones that can bring this down, because the other two groups are not going to do it. One's not got the backbone. One's not got the mental capacity to see it needs to be done. And you know, they've got a brain like everyone else. They could choose, make different choices, but they don't. And that leaves those that can see it to bring an end to this. And that's why they're targeting those people like crazy and trying to marginalize us with these vaccine passports and restrictions. They know that we're the only people that can bring this down. You know, if you look at this choice about whether to have the fake jab or not, it's not just a choice about a fake jab. It absolutely is telling the world where you're coming from. Because if you won't have it, it means you've got the ability for critical thinking and you can see things that others don't choose to see. And so when they say, like in the American military now, there's a lot of pushback in the American military on this. They say, you can't stay in the military if you won't have the fake jab. This is systematic because they don't want people in the American military or any other military that critically think and have a different view to the prevailing agenda. That's the way that they don't want, quote, Trump supporters in the American military. That's why they're targeting them. And so this have the jab, not have the jab, is basically filtering out those who are pushbackers, as I call them, and those who are not. And they want non-pushbackers in the military, obviously, and in the law enforcement in general, because they'll do what they're told without question. Where pushbackers will say, no, absolutely, I'm not going to do this. This is fascism, I'm not doing it. And you know, this has been planned for such a long time, what's happening now, and I've tracked it through the books over the years. They have been putting people in positions of power and law enforcement for those in power that have the mentality, overwhelmingly, not all of them, but overwhelmingly, they have the mentality that's just going to impose whatever authority tells them to impose without question. You know, if you want a psychopathic police force or a psychopathic military, then hire psychopaths and it's cause and effect. And the other part of this is that they want the public to see that these restrictions and what's happening is ridiculous, contradictory, makes no sense. And they want to see, look around the world, that massive numbers of political positions are held by complete morons. Absolute morons, because they're not got the power, they just administer the power. They want you to see that, because if they can get you to have a moron tell you to do ridiculous things and you still do them, then they've deleted your self-respect. They've turned you into a submissive. And that's what they want. They're doing. That's why you look at Johnson in Britain, Biden in America, Macron in France. You look at these people running the states in Australia. They're absolute morons. And there's so many moronic people who have been appointed to positions in significant positions in the health arena. who are talking the most blatant trash, but because they have authority, we're supposed to do what they tell us. I mean, there's a Biden appointee called Rochelle Walensky, who's the head of the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in America, who, if I called her a moron, then a moron might sue for defamation of character. But she's running, what she says goes in terms of health policy, because this is what they've done. Because these people are not skilled in their job. It's not what they're there for. They're there to do as they're told, that's all. And so they're told deeper in the shadows, this is going to be CDC policy, and they carry out CDC policy because they are officially in a position to do that. This is happening everywhere. And we need to call the morons out. You know, I'm not doing what you say, you're a moron. And what you want me to do is do these ludicrous things you're telling me to do, then I become a moron. No, I won't do it.
I know we're running out from time, but I want to ask you one short question, if you can, if you have time more little.
Okay. One more, yeah.
From my community, people ask me to ask you about what your opinion about the flat Earth. I tell you, my opinion is something about... So, first of all, we need to heal ourselves from our ego and problems rooted in a physical, mental, spiritual being. And it's just give unnecessary arguments and separation between us. It's a kind of belief system that created by Central Intelligence Agency, what I think. What's your opinion about that?
Well, you know, what I've done for 31 years since I've started this whole journey of mine is I've followed my intuition. And my intuition has guided me very successfully, it turns out, when you look back in the light of current events. To look at certain things and investigate certain things and go into certain areas, loads and loads of them. It's never told me to go and investigate this. Never has. And so I don't go with it. I don't go and look deeply into it, because you know, if you look at the evidence, and you know, I said just after the turn of the millennium that we live in a simulation, like a virtual reality simulation, and that the outer wall of the simulation, the Matrix, if you like, which the Matrix movies portrayed very well in terms of the way they portrayed it, then that's the speed of light. The speed of light is the outer wall of the Matrix, the simulation. It's not the fastest speed possible, it's ludicrous. And all these years later, last May it was, Scientific American came out with an article in which they were talking about the fact that there is evidence that we live in a simulation and its outer limit is the speed of light. And so the reason I mention that is because if you're dealing with a simulation, well, it can be anything you like. The earth can be flat or whatever, because you are creating your own laws of physics. The laws, okay. See, when you look at the accounts of near-death experiencers who've left the body, their consciousness has left the body after the body has ceased to function, and then the body has been revived and they come back. They describe a very, very different reality outside the body, because they're basically outside the Matrix. Very different reality. And so the laws of physics are just like the laws of a virtual reality game. The person who's writing the code of the game is dictating the limits of the game and what's possible in the game and what isn't. That's what this reality is. And it's been created to enslave our perception by this non-human force. I've written about this at length. So basically, because they can create their own laws of physics, they can make it whatever they want to do, basically, in the game is what they do. And the earth is flat, the earth is round, whatever, you know. But my focus is, okay, what do we do to turn this around? And I don't see, certainly now at the moment, going down that road is going to be very beneficial in that whole arena. Because like you say, you know, this is one of the things that's, you know, can be very frustrating, is the way that even in the alternative media, instead of respecting people's right to have a different opinion, you have to have this big argument about who's right and who's wrong, and who's superior and who's not. And we all should be surely working together and supporting each other, those who are pushing back on this, and respecting everyone's right to have their opinion. It really is, you know, and I would say this to the alternative media in general, it's no good complaining that your right to an opinion in the mainstream is being deleted and being abused and being attacked if you're doing the same to people in the alternative media. You know, there's many people in the alternative media who say things I absolutely don't agree with, but there are many things the same people say that I do agree with. So let's just unite behind what we agree on and then let be what we don't agree on. Put it aside and just say, well, they're right to their opinion. And then we might have a bit more unity, because we need unity badly. The last thing we need is division.
Yes, the most important.
Because if we're divided, if we, the alternative media, that which is left to push back now, allow ourselves to be divided and ruled, then the game's over.
Part of the game, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. I know you're busy. Thank you so much for your time, David. I'm glad to speak with you. I wish to speak with you more. I have a lot of questions also. Really, thank you for your time, and really appreciate your work.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate what you're doing as well. Because obviously you're in a very extreme situation there, and you know, it's worth the people of Israel asking who is the government of Israel really serving? Is it serving the people by creating a, in effect, a fascist state of apartheid, or is it serving another interest that benefits from the apartheid and the targeting of people who are seeking to push back? The yeah. same question needs to be asked in Britain, and the same answer will come back, same in America, because this is a global agenda being globally coordinated, and that's why what's happening in Israel is planned to happen in Britain, is planned to happen in America.
Yes, it's the most important thing. This we need to bother people, that the injustice is going on in our world.
Yeah.
And really important.
So yeah, it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what your religion is.
Exactly.
Justice is justice. Fairness is fairness.
We all human family. We all united human family.
Yeah, of course we are. But that's what the cult wants. It wants to create fault lines between us. So we're too busy fighting each other to see actually we have a common enemy.
Yeah. So thank you very much again.
Pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hope you'll see you soon, and we have another discussion and interview.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, thank you very much.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.